Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's still hump day here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and returning to us is Dan the Man. Hey, all right, how about that? You want to call in and talk to Dan and I? 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Sunday, there was a new blog that went up this earth. Since it's Wednesday, there was a new blog that went up over there this morning. As you know, they go up on Wednesdays and Saturday morning. So get on over there, check that out. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? All right, Dan, so it's that magical day in the baseball world where we get to find out if we will induct any more players into baseball's Hall of Fame. And I can tell you, looking at the voting, that we now have 4 new members. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, I don't understand the voting anymore.
Yeah, I don't understand a lot of this, and we're gonna get into it in just a little bit. In his first year on the ballot, Chipper Jones leads the way because I'm guessing they got the percentages wrong here. He got 410 votes, or 92.9%. In his second year in the ballot, Vladimir Guerrero goes in. They actually have Guerrero's percentage listed higher at 92.9, but he got 392 votes. So I'm thinking they made a mathematical error there. Another first-timer, Jim Thome, rolls into the Hall of Fame. 379 votes and then 89.8% share. And then Trevor Hoffman gets in his third year on the ballot. This year he got 337 votes or 79.9%. You need it's over 75 to get in. So Edgar Martinez is the top guy missing out. Better luck next year, Edgar. You'll have one more year on the ballot to find your way into the Hall of Fame. If not, that's up to the veterans. So there you go, Dan. 4 new guys. You okay with these 4? You got issues? Somebody else you thought should have went in?
The 3 I don't have an issue with. I'm just still kind of on the fence with Thome.
Yeah, well, we it's weird. He's a weird type of player. I guess it depends on what your stance is on the DH, because when you look at his numbers, I mean, they're incredible. He definitely has Hall of Fame numbers, but it's so weird because he gets in and Edgar doesn't. So, I get it. Tomei's got bigger power numbers and, I think he played in a little bigger spotlight. He won a world championship. Edgar spent his whole year in Seattle, or his whole career. Boy, I'm having one of those days. I don't know. So, but after seeing this, Dan, here is the problem I have, and you must answer this question for me. Chipper Jones gets in, first ballot, no problem, walks into the Hall of Fame. Right? Why not Gary Sheffield, Dan? Why is Gary struggling down here? He got 47 votes or 11.1% in his fourth year on the ballot. What what do we do? Who doesn't like him? Their numbers are incredibly similar, and Sheffield has more power.
He didn't spend his whole career with one team.
Yeah, was that the problem? Obviously you can't fault him that, you know, he was traded. You know, Chipper racked up 19 years all with the Braves. Sheffield played 22. He did bounce around a little bit. He started with the Brewers, a stop in San Diego, over to Florida, spent some time with the Dodgers, the Braves, the Yankees, the Tigers, and wrapped it up with the Mets. Chipper has, a few more hits, 27, 26 to 26, 89. So it's impressive that Chipper racked up more hits in three less seasons. But Gary has 509 home runs. Chipper's got 648. Chipper's a .303 career hitter. Sheffield's a .292 hitter. Obviously you give it to Chipper being the better defender at third base. Sheffield bounced around, played a little short, played a little third. You spent the majority of his career in the outfield. But I don't get this. I mean, the comparisons are so very similar that, I mean, if you're to look at a ballot, I mean, if you're voting for Chipper Jones, you should be voting for Gary Sheffield. You could throw in that Sheffield won a batting title if that makes you feel better. I know how guys are about that. Dan, maybe the deciding factor was the fact that Chipper's career WAR is 85 and Sheffield's is only 60.3.
That could be part of it.
I know you're chuckling about that, but I heard a debate about that with a couple of Clemens and Bonds today about how they need to go in because their WARs are whatever the hell they are. And if somebody ever said that to my face, I would punch them because it's probably the most useless sabermetric stat there ever was because it's adjustable and invented. So, like you said, you were confused by the voting, Dan. I don't get this at all. Oh, hey, Chipper won a batting title. I didn't know that. So, help me figure this one out here. Why does Chipper roll in and Sheffield struggling to stay on the ballot?
He's not as popular. The popularity contest.
Yeah, was it the fact that, maybe his relationship wasn't that good with reporters, as Chipper was? I mean, I get it. Chipper's a... what you would describe as a good old boy, and I mean, he does nice things like rescue his friends in snowstorms on his ATV. I thought this was about, numbers. It's not about, if you're a good guy or not. I mean, it's roundly reported that Ty Cobb was one of the biggest jerks ever. He's in the Hall of Fame, whether you like it or not. Babe Ruth was a drunk. He's in the Hall of Fame. Joe Morgan is a complete ass. He's not only the vice president of the Hall of Fame, he's in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, it shouldn't matter what kind of guy you were. It should matter what kind of player you are, right?
Yep, but if you aren't friendly with the baseball writers, then they're not going to vote for you.
Yeah, it was just one of those things that didn't make sense. Some of the other names, Mike Mussino racked up a few more votes. They've been crying for him to get in for years because he was the other guy they brought up with WAR. Every pitcher ahead of Mike Mussino on the career WAR list is in the Hall of Fame except Roger Clemens. Clemens actually got more votes than Bonds this time. They're both still in the 50s. They didn't quite get to 60. Who knows if they'll get in. Sammy got 33 votes. And now this was the thing we talked about yesterday, Dan, is maybe as a Cub fan, you can figure this out. Obviously we know Clemens cheated. We know Bonds cheated. We know Sosa cheated. Why does everybody seem to be overlooking what Clemens and Bonds did and starting to vote for them? But Sammy now is another guy who has this struggle. He's got Hall of Fame numbers just like they do. He's the only guy in history to have three career 60-homer seasons. He's getting 33 votes while they're getting 200-plus. How How do you factor that in?
Because of Tom Ricky.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, his name is never brought up with them. It's always Bonds and Clemens. You never hear Sosa. You know, I mean, McGuire didn't even get enough votes when he was on the ballot to stay on the ballot. Sammy barely hangs on, and, you know, I mean, he's another. I mean, if you're going to put Clemens and Bonds in, you got to put Sosa in, don't you? I mean, hell, he saved baseball.
Yeah, but they like to forget that part.
So, you know, then I was joking with Dan off the air. There were six guys who did not get any votes. Orlando Hudson, Aubrey Huff, Jason Isringhausen, Brad Lidge, Kevin Millwood, and sadly, Carlos Zambrano didn't even round out a vote. The other guys who I believe are off the ballot now, I think you have to have 5% to stay on. So we'll say goodbye to guys like Carlos Lee, Levon Hernandez, Kerry Wood, Chris Carpenter. A little surprised, Hideki Matsui only got 4 votes, so he goes away. Johnny Damon, and then I believe Johan Santana and Jamie Moyer go bye-bye. They got 10 votes or 2.4%. Dan, you know, I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised that Santana didn't make the cut there. You know, for I know he had a short career, but for 5 or 6 years, he was the best pitcher in baseball. Did they not give him his due diligence and maybe not do enough research on him?
Possibly, but I think they're, I don't know, I don't even know what to say.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying the guy belongs in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, 10 votes, you know, I mean, I don't know how many ballots were cast. It seems like there's about 8 million when I was looking at the list of voters. So, yeah, you wonder how he just managed to pop up on 10 ballots, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, some of the other guys hanging around, you know, Fred McGriff will give it one more go, but he got 89 votes, 23.2%. He'll probably go to the Veterans Committee, you know, along with Edgar after next year, unless Edgar makes a revival. You know, Kurt Schilling at 51.2%. You know, Omar Vizquel with a solid showing his first time on the ballot, 37%. I don't know, Dan. I mean, none of these guys, you know, maybe with the exception of Vizquel, because his career has a very similar timeline to Ozzie Smith. And Smith was our first ballot Hall of Famer. So, you know, again, you got to kind of wonder how they'll work that out as the years go by with Omar. You know, maybe he'll be the Tim Raines of this decade. But yeah, I don't know. Just so many things, you know, like I don't have a big problem with the four guys who went in. You know, Hoffman was probably the second best relief pitcher of all time right now. He belongs in. You know, Vlad was a monster. You didn't ever want to face him. You know, I like Chipper. I don't know if he's, you know, with the whole Sheffield thing. And you know, we looked at Tomei's numbers yesterday. He belongs there. I can deal with the DH thing. But yeah, I mean, just some of the other things I don't understand. You know, I know like everybody was making a
more
actually comparably with Tomei, his walks are pretty equal to his strikeouts. So he did strike out a lot, but he did take his walks. So
he has 2,500 strikeouts, 1,700 walks.
Yeah, that's not too bad today's game. You know, I mean, just, you know, compared to what some of the numbers these guys are going to get now. But, you know, I mean, like, I know there was a big campaign for Scott Rowland to get in. I was like, really? You know, and then I finally decided I was going to write that off to the fact that we still don't have any free agent signings, and they were just out of things to talk about. So they had to put together a campaign for Scott Rowland to get into the Hall of Fame. So... But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm, you know, I lose interest in this because I don't understand, you know, what some of these guys are looking at when they're putting their ballots together. You know, I know like a lot of them became public, and there was a guy who, maybe it was a girl. I should be fair about that. There was a voter, let's say it that way, who only picked 4 players. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you mentioned Gary Wood and Dan Brano, Kerry Muscat, who covers the Cubs. Only 6 guys, and neither, no Cub was on our ballot.
Yeah, I think, I believe I saw on the Baseball Writers of America website that they will actually release the vote, you know, who voted for who officially on February 7th. So, you know, we'll have, you know, if I remember, we'll have to maybe look into that and see if we can make fun of some of these people for their ballots and see who, you know, who or what they voted for there. But, you know, just one of those fun things. But I had to throw this at you, Dan, because I'm not sure if I think this is a big deal as they're making it out to be. Did you see the NFL has rejected an ad from a veterans group for the Super Bowl about standing up for the national anthem? It's like hashtag please stand. But, the NFL decided that they did not want to run it. I don't have a big issue with this. I mean, you know, you and I have talked many times about how we're so far away from the fact of what Colin Kaepernick was trying to get across that it really, none of this has any meaning anymore. Do you have a big, you know, maybe you have a big issue with it. You can help me out here, but do you have an issue with them kind of not wanting to run this ad or kind of bringing back up this whole BS now that it's kind of died down?
Yeah, they're not showing both sides. So it'll be okay when we watch the national anthem be sung and they show players kneeling. But they're not going to show the other side of it. They're supposed to be objective. They're not supposed to have a stance. So obviously, they're taking a stance.
Do they still show players kneeling? I don't remember seeing any of them over the weekend.
Well, no. Whoever is, I forgot who has the Super Bowl this year, said they will show it.
So yeah, no, I didn't know that. So yeah, that makes a little sense. But I mean, so basically, it's the network looking for a little attention by showing players kneeling, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, they were going to get the attention because it's the Super Bowl. Everyone's going to be watching it anyway. But, you know, for being, especially being an objective channel, they're not. They're only showing one side of it.
So, yeah, because I didn't realize they were actually going to show, you know, the players kneeling. Because, like I said, I didn't see any this weekend. I watched both games, and, you know, maybe they did, and I'm just to the point where I've tuned it out, and, you know, I just don't care. Yeah, you know, because, again, you know, we've been over it enough to where I I don't remember what the hell Colin Kaepernick was protesting in the first place. So, I wish he would, I wish he would get out and do something to kind of maybe set things straight, but I don't know if anybody would listen to him.
No, I really hope that he gets signed next year under the premise that he will not kill.
Yeah, well, I know, there was a story out there that John Gruden had mentioned he might be interested in bringing him in with the Raiders. Obviously, he wouldn't start. He would be, you know, he would be David Carr's backup. But, you know, you never know. You know, that could be interesting. So, yeah, I just, again, like I said, I didn't really, you know, to me, you know, it wasn't a huge deal. Like I said, I just kind of want this to go away. Either go away or get it set back on what we were trying to accomplish. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been almost 2 years of it, and I don't see that it accomplished anything. So I don't really see the point of it all. And, you know, again, if you're going to show one side, you have to show the other. Otherwise, you're not as objective as you say you are.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I understand the NFL just kind of wanting it to go away. You know, but, yeah, if the network is going to show, you know, players kneeling, then I definitely think they need to run this commercial as a, you know, as a counterpoint, you know, to it. I do find it odd that they turned down the money. Well, you know, I wonder, does the NFL turn it down or does the network turn down the money? You know, because I'm sure there's a split, right? Yeah.
I don't think the network, NFL, has anything to do with that.
So, yeah, I just, you know, like I said, it was just kind of interesting. You know, I was just like, you know, oh, God, here. Because, like, I haven't heard anything about this for, you know, weeks now. You know, I don't remember, you know, anybody talking about guys kneeling or anything like that. It kind of fizzled out and went away, and it looked like, okay, we're all done with this. We can move on with our lives. And then, you know, this came up. And, I, like I said, I didn't realize players were still kneeling. So if that's the effect they've had on me, Dan, how about you?
I just don't even try to watch it.
You know, you don't pay attention to the game until after the national anthem? But, you know, while we are on football, and I didn't have a chance to talk to you about this because you were a little tied up early in the week here. Since you did, you were one of the guys on on the Jaguar bandwagon pretty much most of the year. Are you buying the fact that the refs were rooting for the Patriots and that's why they won because they called penalties on the Jaguars?
No, but I did think it was a little odd how happy that referee was at that one touchdown they scored.
Yeah, that was there was, you know, strange ref player interaction with that game as it goes, but I don't think they really had any effect or any out on the game, and I got a kick out of Boomer Esiason making a complete ass out of himself, just going off about how there was a penalty that he, oh, well, that wasn't pass interference, blah, blah, blah. And then after the game, the Jaguars coach comes on and says, oh, yeah, that was pass interference. I go, okay, so Boomer, you're a complete moron, and you now have zero credibility as an NFL analyst. So thank you for that. And if CBS is smart, just let him go and get it over with because nobody wants to listen to anything this jackass has to say anymore. It was like, thanks for showing up, toolbox, and go away. Maybe if you'd have won something in your career, people would listen to you a little more, but basically you're a two-bit radio hack right now, and that's what you're going for yourself. So
that's how you really feel.
Yeah, it's stuff like that just kind of, the weird part was, like, when they first called the penalty, I was right there, you know, in live action, it didn't look like a penalty. And then you watch the replay and you're like, oh yeah, that was a penalty. I believe it was one where the guy grabbed the guy around the neck and kind of pulled him down and kept him away from the ball. I was like, yeah, that's definitely a penalty. So, but like I needed to see it in slow motion, and like Boomer went on it at halftime and just kind of freaked out about it. And I was like, really, dude, you didn't think that was a penalty? It's like, just, don't go away, man. Just go away. It was clear then that he had lost it and he was basically going, and it's weird because you can catch these commentators that are just completely biased And, you know, for a guy who's working for a national network, man, he sure didn't want the Patriots to win. You know, and I know that's a lot of feelings out there. There's a lot of people who hate the Patriots, but, you know, that, you know, the games aren't fixed. You know, it was just a weird thing. And I think Jacksonville learned a really big lesson. You know, they got a little bit afraid in the second half. I mean, they dominated early. And, you know, they were doing everything right. And, you know, being, you know, the first time they were there, they got a little scared and they got conservative. And, you know, New England is a great adjustment team. And it caught up to them in the end. But, I mean, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I talked about this on Sunday. You know, if you remember, Dan, I mean, you can kind of go through history. Teams have to learn how to win these games. You know, and I know one of the greatest examples locally here was the Bulls. You know, they had to learn how to beat the Pistons before they could win championships. You know, and I think this could prove to be a fantastic lesson for the Jaguars. And I won't be surprised if they're in the Super Bowl next year as the AFC representative. They, you know, they'll have the majority of their guys coming back, and, you know, they'll get healthy. You know, their best receiver was out. You know, you got to think Leonard Fournette is only going to get better with a year under his belt. You know, he'll be used to the grind a little more. I don't know if Blake will be the quarterback. We'll have to see if they bring Bortles back. But, you know, I really think, you know, if that defense stays together and stay healthy, they're going to be a force to reckon with. So it would be nice if the Florida fans would show up and support them.
They would have if Debo was there.
You know, but yes, and then I have to ask you, because Dan, I can't figure this one out. What the hell happened to your Vikings?
I can't even tell you. They look like the Cleveland Browns on Sunday.
Yeah, I guess now, does this shut down all the talk of, you know, of Case Keenum being the starter next year and we get to go back to Teddy?
Well, there's even talk that he won't even be ready next year.
Well, he better be ready. It's been, you know, two years.
Well, I mean, not only that, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't all three free agents now? So,
you know, I don't think Teddy is. I think Teddy still has a year left.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can double check that real quick. But I know both Keenum and Sam Bradford are.
Yeah, I mean, I think the safer bet would be to re-sign Bradford, and you know, keep working with Teddy and see how that goes. I don't know that you re-sign Case Keenum though. So he'll go play with the Jaguars.
Yeah. No, yeah, you are correct. Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent here. There is a looks like there's a tad bit of controversy here over it. Let me see what Mike Florio has to say. Yeah, there's apparently a catch in his in the collective bargaining agreement, Dan. Any player placed on the PUP list, which is physically unable to perform, it says will be paid his full paragraph 5 salary, while on such list his contract will not be told for the period of time he is on the PUP list, except in the last year of his contract, when the player's contract will be told if he is still physically unable to perform. Now, you know, Bridgewater missed all of last year on the PUP list while he was under contract. So there, you know, it may be a question of if he's actually a free agent or not.
Yeah.
So I did see somebody say he'd be a great signing for the Cleveland Browns, and I really hope they don't do that to Teddy and he ends up in Cleveland, because he seems like a decent guy. So
yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say. So it'll be interesting. It was hard to watch. I mean, Of course, I missed the the opening touchdown by the Vikings. I'm like, all right, great, we're coming into this, and it's going to be fantastic. And the Eagles just completely shut them down. I mean, it felt like their defense, which was supposed to be number one in the NFC, almost the NFL, was just dominated. So, and you know, bouncing back just for 1 second to the Jags and the Patriots, it started off great for the Jags, and then the only thing I did was I sat there and said, you don't get excited. You let Tom Brady play. And Tom Brady did exactly what he did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know. So, and, you know, I can tell everybody, in case you're wondering, if you didn't listen Sunday, the Sports Time Radio jinx is alive. We all had the Vikings winning that game. So that was that. You know, I think we doomed them right from that point. You know, I will be interested, Dan, do you think maybe, you know, since the Giants right away hired the Vikings offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, does Keenum maybe sign there on a multi-year deal and back up Eli for, you know, maybe a season? You got to wonder how much Eli has left before he takes over as a starter. Because you would think he would want to stay with Shurmur after this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they already had another quarterback.
They have a young guy, Davis Webb. They do have Geno Smith, but I think he might be a free agent. So, yeah, but, I mean, they had a young, unproven guy, and you know how it is. It's like everything else. He's not the coach's guy, so, you know, you wonder how that works out.
Yeah. I think, you know, this, just like every offseason between sports, I think this one will be definitely an interesting one for the NFL. And I think what makes it interesting, too, is playoff contenders, except for the Patriots, is where we're going to see, you know, possibly big moves being made or need to be made. I mean, let's be honest, with Minnesota, yeah, Bridgewater was supposed to be the future, but I don't even – did we even get a sip of coffee out of him? I don't even think you would consider that. So that always makes it hard. You know, too bad for Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
He got kind of pushed out of town.
He's got a hot one.
The guy who took over his spot. Yeah. Yeah, he does. I forgot about that. But, you know, what's really interesting is when the Super Bowl comes up, you know, you, I, and not Mr. Fantasy, because he fell short of making any kind of picks this year, because he's afraid to lose to me. But you, I, and Schomburg Stu, all three of us had the Patriots-Seahawks World Super Bowl for for this year. We were all very close in that we all, you know, obviously got the Patriots. But it'll be very interesting, Big Jack, because I'm the only one who picked the Patriots to win. So,
yeah, well, you
know what that means. They're going to lose.
You know, I don't know. You know, if we all pick them to win, you know, next week, you know, the Sports Time Radio jinx may kick in and they may actually lose. So, you know, we'll have to see how that works.
I guess we'll just throw it out here now. If Patriots win, I get the shirt. If they lose, you get the Patriots no championship series.
Oh, yeah.
No Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I get the Eagles shirt.
Did you listen to the fine? Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were listening to the fine print there, the Super Bowl loss T-shirt.
If I could get the ones they do, where do they send them? They send them to underprivileged countries, the stuff they print up that doesn't go. Yeah.
Oh, but it would be very interesting. It makes you, looking into this, I think this will be as good as the Super Bowl as last year. I think, you know, the Falcons, they played well, but do you think with the way the Eagles played and just dominating the Vikings, that gives them maybe a better chance at actually dethroning the Patriots?
Yeah, you know, it's very odd because I'm not sure if the Eagles are actually getting enough credit for what they did to Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota had one of the top defenses in the NFL, and, I mean, you wouldn't know it with what the heck just happened. So, you know, you just have – you gotta kind of wonder if, you know, Philadelphia has something up their sleeve. I mean, Nick Bolt was great, and I don't think anybody thought they would be saying that. It was 352 yards and three touchdowns. He was only sacked one time. So there were a lot of delight there about Nick Foles, and it was impressive. And, you know, the Patriots defense isn't as good as the Vikings defense. So you've got to wonder what that's going to bring. So it could definitely be an interesting situation. Of course, the Patriots are a little better on, their coach is a little better on, in-game adjustments and that kind of stuff. Even though, the Vikings aren't bad. I mean, Mike Zimmer was no slouch on making those moves or anything. Maybe you call it karma because it all worked out against the Saints. And, they hit that, obviously, you got to call it lucky. There's no other way to describe it. That lucky game-winning touchdown. And then, against the Eagles, they couldn't buy, luck in any pretty much way, shape, or form. And, to be fair, the Eagles deserve a lot of credit for that. I mean, they had a great game plan, and, they played a fantastic game. So, it's always difficult to lay the blame or however you want to do it. I mean, I know, it's got to be somebody's fault. that's just kind of how we work with these things. So, we'll lay the blame on the Vikings and see what happens here in a couple weeks. But, it's difficult to beat Bill Belichick when he's got all this time to prepare. I don't know why the heck I couldn't say that. So, we'll have to see how it works out. Again, it's a situation where I don't have a fantastic rooting interest in either team. I mean, I'm not the Patriot hater like a lot of people you're going to run into are. I don't care. If they win, it doesn't affect me like it does some people where they're, they're cheaters or they're this or they're that. And, I did look this morning and see the Patriots were a 5-point favorite. So, if you want to get your money down on that, if you're buying, one way or the other there, I was a little surprised that the line wasn't a little higher being that it's only Wednesday and, we've got about 10 days to go. Maybe it's the fact that, we're not going to find out about Rob Gronkowski's injury for probably till next week sometime. He left the conference championship with a concussion out very early. Another thing the Patriots didn't get credit for, they win the game without Gronk. He's in concussion protocol. I don't know if he's been released yet. They haven't mentioned any of that. So, that's one of those things you gotta sit down and, wait and see how that plays out. So, there's just so much that falls into this as, we get to game time and, who knows? Like I said, it would be nice to get a good game. I mean, I know like last year's game was incredibly exciting. A lot of wild swings, obviously. Atlanta looked like they were kings of the world, and then here comes New England, and even in that AFC game, I mean, Jacksonville was dominant on Sunday for the first half. I mean, going into halftime, I think everybody was shocked with the way Jacksonville played, but New England made their adjustments, and like I said, I think Jacksonville got a little too conservative, and it ended up costing them. And then like the second game, I mean, Minnesota gets the opening kickoff, goes straight down the field and scores. You're like, oh, okay, good. You know, they're right where they want to be. And, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody could have guessed that that was the only points they were going to score. And Philadelphia was going to run off 38 straight against one of the better, you know, the better defenses in the NFL. So, you know, it was just one of those odd scenarios where two of the top defenses ended up getting knocked out last week. You know, Jacksonville, who I think was the best overall on the season, you know, they went home, and then Minnesota, who wasn't too far behind them, you know, definitely got knocked out as well. So just kind of strange. In a way it makes, you know, this stuff hard to predict, as you know, by our picks, except for Dan, who did win. So, but, heading into the Super Bowl, we all are pretty even now. I know, it's interesting. Mr. Fantasy is a game up. He's actually 6-4 in our playoff picks, while the other three of us are 5-5. So, you know, the Super Bowl, of course, as you know, we not only pick the winner, you got to pick an MVP and you got to pick a score. Nobody's ever gotten the score right. That's obviously really difficult. I did land the MVP a couple seasons ago. I had Von Miller. So we'll have to see. I know mostly guys just take the quarterback of the team they think is going to win. So it's kind of a cop out for us. But, you know, when you look at it, like last year, it could have just as easily been James White as anybody else. You know, the guy set a Super Bowl record for receptions and scored the game-winning touchdown. And, you know, but it's one of those things where, you know, when the Patriots win, they automatically look to give the award to Tom Brady. It's just kind of how it goes. So we will have to see. But obviously there's going to be a lot of talk about this rolling along and, you know, just how it goes. So we shall see all the fun stuff we get to discuss. So, oh, but yeah, I did see, you know, Dan, I was interested to get your take. Apparently we are, we're still digging a grave for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are you buying the latest thing here that they had a team meeting and apparently it's all Kevin Love's fault?
Isn't it his fault every time they do wrong or they don't do, they play well?
Yeah, it seems like it, but this year they actually had a team meeting about it. And, you know, the reports are that of all the guys, I guess Isaiah Thomas called out Kevin Love. Now, the funny thing about that is, you know, Thomas has played all of about 8 games with the Cavaliers. And here he is calling out somebody on his new team. I don't know if I understand how or why it's Kevin Love's fault, because they never went into detail, but it just seems odd that, you know, like he didn't tell them to play him out of position at center this year. So, you know, but he's still getting his rebound numbers. He's just under 10 a game. He's the second leading scorer on the team. But, you know, if you were expecting him to magically become a tough guy because you put him in at center, that was your mistake, not his, right?
Pretty much. Well, part of it is his fault because he's not unified with the team, because last Saturday he was really sick and left the arena before he said goodbye and, you know, gave everyone hugs and handshakes and spread his germs to them, and then didn't come in the next day for practices or whatever was going in on Sunday. So that's part of the reason. You know, that's, and I don't mean to go this way, but does it have anything to do with the fact that he's a minority on the team or seemingly the only one on his team?
You know, somebody brought that up today, and I mean, it's such an incredibly touchy subject that I don't know what or how anybody would react to it if it was actually brought up to them. This is another one of those situations. You know, LeBron James could have showed some leadership and diffused all of this, but chose not to. So,
but doesn't it just help reaffirm Kyrie's want to leave that team?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at it now and, you know, you can understand completely why, you know, he would want to be gone. And now, you know, the odd thing is they had some opportunities to trade Kevin Love last year. Remember, there was all the talk that he could be involved in a Carmelo Anthony deal, and then there was talk about him for Blake Griffin. You know, and the Cavaliers decided, you know, that this was the guy they wanted to stay with. And, you know, a couple seasons ago, he was a big reason they won a world title. But, you know, like last night, he got knocked to the floor, and Jay Crowder, who's another one of his new teammates, didn't help him up and just walked right past him. So, you know, it was just kind of like, hey, thanks, buddy. You know, and I mean, we're talking about guys, you know, Isaiah Thomas never won anything. You know, had a great year with Boston last year, but was hurt when it really counted and the team went out. You know, Jay Crowder's done nothing in the NBA to hang his hat on except be Isaiah Thomas's teammate on that Celtics team last year, you know, that ended up losing to the Cavaliers in the conference finals. So, you know, these aren't guys that have fantastic resumes. I mean, there's no world titles. You know, they're not wearing rings. You know, Isaiah Thomas really only had the one good year last year with the Celtics. But, you know, again, a lot of this is, you know, an athlete acting like he's entitled to something, you know, because.
Well, that's the NBA, though, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, but now here's the interesting thing. Does LeBron pick Kevin Love for his All-Star team?
I think he should, but if he doesn't, I mean, doesn't that give you the writing on the wall for Kevin Love?
Yeah, you know, you would think, you know, I mean, it would be interesting, you know, like I know the Cavaliers are in hot pursuit right now. They want George Hill from the Sacramento Kings. Kevin Love won't be involved in that deal. You know, it's been reported that it's Channing Frye, Iman Shumpert, and a second-round pick is where they're at right now in that deal. But, you know, there are some, you know, some other names. You know, Kemba Walker is out there. You know, the Hornets want to deal him and, I'm drawing a blank, Nicholas Batum. So, you know, maybe there's a deal like that on the board that could possibly, you know, help things out there. And, you know, Love goes to play for Michael Jordan.
I mean, are those guys younger? Because isn't that all the issue with them right now? They're too old.
Yeah, I believe, you know, I believe they're all similar to the, I think Walker is younger, but I think Batum is about the same age as Love. I, you know, again, I don't know how the salaries line up, so the Cavaliers may have to kick in, you know, an extra salary here in the NBA to see how it works out. But, you know, there are some options out there if they decide that, you know, that's the way they want to go or how, you know, how they want to do it. But I, you know, I was just baffled that, you know, they decided it was his fault. So, and I would love to know how they came to that decision. So,
well, you got to blame somebody. Somebody has to be the scapegoat. And after you trade Isaiah Thomas, it can't be him.
No, yeah. Or his buddy. Yeah, I think it's just interesting that it was Thomas who was the one that stepped up and started, you know, was the one who really called him out. So, you know, it just seems odd that, you know, a first-year guy like that, first-year on the team guy like that, would be the guy to be like, hey, you know, you blah, 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 or whatever, you know, however they do it. So, yeah, you know, again, I, you know, who knows? It's just kind of baffling. Well, we shall see. Now, you know, how do you feel right now? You're kind of looking at them. You still thinking they're going to be the team coming out of the East when it's all said and done? The NBA finds a way get them to the finals.
They're going to make the necessary moves, and if they don't make a move, you know, then all of a sudden Kevin Love will be everybody's favorite guy, and they'll be in the finals against the Warriors again. What is it? This be the fourth year in a row, or the fifth? The fourth.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'll take your word for it. You know, because it's one of those things.
I think it's 2-1.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, this would be number 4. So we'll have to see how it works out. I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, here we go. So, all right. Well, you know, Dan, we started with baseball, so I assume we can kind of wrap it up that way. Still no major free agent signings. What the hell are we waiting for here, Dan?
Yu Darvish, who's supposed to be very close to signing.
Did they decide who though? You know, because I know the Brewers jumped in on him, and then all of a sudden, magically, the Cubs were talking to him again. So
supposedly, there's 5 teams, and that's coming from you himself, but I don't know. You know, he's pretty active on his Twitter. I don't know how much truth there is to that, or who's made what offer to him.
So yeah, I think, did I hear it? Was it the Brewers who went 5 years and $100 million, or maybe it was 4 years and $100 million? So something like that, but now do you think he's the first guy to sign?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Jake's gonna end up being the odd man out, him and Cobb.
Well, Cobb deserves to be the odd man out, thinking he's worth $20 million. I don't know what the heck he was. He was on, or he was thinking there. I mean, that was completely ridiculous that he was under the impression that he deserved that kind of money. I do wonder, you know, if it is the Cubs that end up bringing in Darvish, what that leaves for Arrieta. Because I don't think he's going to take the Brewers' offer because it's way under what he wants. And I just don't know if there's another team out there, you know, willing to kind of meet his asking price.
I mean, I think they'd be crazy if they did. 7 years, 20-plus.
Yeah. So here we mentioned the Cubs and the Brewers have interest in Darvish. Ken Rosenthal is reporting that the Phillies have checked in, and the Minnesota Twins are what they call actively engaged in Darvish. There's also some ongoing interest from the Rangers and the Dodgers. So it may be 6 teams, not 5. Who are on the Yu Darvish bandwagon.
Well, I think for me, if I were him, depending on what Minnesota's offering, I think they're probably the most interesting. And with what they've got going on up there, I think they'd be a team you could possibly win with in the next couple of years. And I don't know what his, obviously, batting statistics per pitcher really don't matter much, but for him being in the American League for so long, I would think he'd maybe rather stay in the American League. or go back to the American League.
Yeah, you would think. You know, I mean, obviously it's something, you know, it's something he's comfortable with, you know, having pitched there with the exception of those few starts with the Dodgers. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely a, you know, a possibility. So, yeah, we'll have to see if he is the, you know, the first guy to sign. I did get a kick, you know, when the, you know, you and I had talked. You know, we knew the Cubs were going to sign a backup catcher, and they did. They went out and got Chris Jimenez. And I love how everybody immediately connected him to Darvish because he caught like 24 or 26 of his starts 2 years ago when they were both in Texas. And that meant that since they got Jimenez, that Darvish was coming to Chicago now because they signed his catcher. And I was just like, oh, God, please help me. It's like, I know there's nothing to talk about, but it can't be this bad. So.
Well, David Ross part two.
That's exactly what they were calling it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was like, yeah, he's Yu Darvish's David Ross. And I was like, oh, please. You guys need to go. So it's like, just please go away now. So, you know, that was just too much for me.
Well, I mean, it was obvious that they needed to sign a second catcher, and
yeah.
Who better to go with than the guy who's a little bit older and has experience? You know, someone that you're not looking
to
get,
I mean,
you know, anywhere near 50 games out of.
Right. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you look at it in a perfect world, you know, Jimenez starts 25 games, you know, maybe
he's
plays in, right, yeah, he's right-handed. So, you know, maybe he plays in 40 or 50 games. So, you know, you give Contreras a break late in blowouts and stuff, but yeah, you know, other than that, I mean, this is all you need. You didn't need a, you know, a big time type of back, you know. But yeah, it was. I mean, it was just humorous that they immediately linked it to Yu Darvish, and you know, well, you know, he caught this many games. And I'm like, oh God, you're kidding me, right? It's like, please, somebody sign besides Austin Jackson, so we can have something to talk about, like anything. Oh, I just chuckled, but you know, that's like you always say, they need something to write about. Oh, all right. Well, Dan's first day back is over, but hopefully back tomorrow with us at 5:30 so we can do it all again. You know, while we're gone, sportsradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Don't forget to like that. Jump on Twitter, which is at sportstimeradio. Go ahead and find Dan and I on Twitter if you're interested. We'll always relate to you. We don't have a problem with that. But hey, big thanks for coming on and listening to us live. But don't forget, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.